See, man has to start somewhere. Man has to start somewhere. Man has to start with something. People that built this altar, they had to start with something. But God starts with absolutely nothing. He spoke and the word came into existence.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the greatness of God seen in creation. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the greatness of God seen in creation.
How great is our God, especially in relationship to creation. We could talk about the greatness of God. I can do a series on the greatness of God, and if I started a series on the greatness of God, the chances are that we might go on for years and years and years if we talked about his love, his mercy, his grace, his justice, all the attributes of God, all the things. As a matter of fact, John recorded in the Gospel of John, he said that if all the things were written in a book about Jesus and about God, that the books couldn't contain them, that there wouldn't be a library that could hold all the information about God. And so what we're trying to do is narrow it down and narrow down our focus. So over the next couple of weeks, the thing that I want to focus on is the creative power of God, the God of creation. How great is our God? There was a young lady who had gone to college, and she was very educated. And her mother worked tirelessly, job after job, trying to put her through college. And the daughter came home, and the mother was just so proud of the daughter, and she just looked at her daughter and just said, "God are great. God are great." And the daughter was all right with that for a while, but day after day, the mother just kept saying, "God are great." And finally, she said, "Mother, I just want to let you know that I don't want my education to go to waste. And I do want to let you know that I learned something. But you need to know that in English, whenever you have a singular noun, you need to have a singular verb. And you're saying God are great. You are putting a singular noun with a plural verb. And it really is, God is great. How come you don't say God is great?" And she said, "Because is too small for God. God are great." And if it wasn't for people that I might think would misunderstand this message and think that Pastor Glaze has bad English, I would title this series, "God Are Great." But we're going to say, "How great is our God?" As we look at that, I love this picture here because it lets us know that God puts a smile for us in creation, that God kisses us with a smile, and he is a great and awesome God. If you go to the next slide that talks about how great is our God. First of all, we see in the scripture, we see the statement of God's greatness. Psalm 48 and verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord." Great is the Lord. When we say great is the Lord, what do we mean? We mean that he's awesome. We mean that he's above all creation. We mean that he has all power in his hand, that he's omniscient. He knows everything, that he's omnipotent. He has all power, that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere at one time, that he's immutable. He does not change. Great is the Lord. And as we go on, we see that not only is he great, but the scripture goes on to let us know that he is unsearchable, that his greatness is unsearchable. Look what Psalm 145 and verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord, his greatness is unsearchable." If I came and I examined your life, I can search your life and I can find out everything about you. I can find out where you were born. I can find out where you were raised. I can find out what elementary, junior high, and high school you went to. I can find out what college that you went to or go to. I can find out every job that you've had in your lifetime. I can find out just about anything about your life that I wanted to that would be observable. But the scripture says that God's greatness is unsearchable. That it's just like diving off of a diving board into the Atlantic Ocean. you never find and you'll never exhaust, but you end up dying before you could get across if you tried to swim. You would exhaust yourself because it's unsearchable. You can't find out all that there is about God. As soon as you think you know something about God, he shows you something else. He's unsearchable. And you know what? I thank God that I have a God that's unsearchable. I thank God. Some people say, I was teaching a Bible study one time, and I was telling the class that, you know, we can't fully understand God. And one of the students said, well, how come, Pastor? I need to understand God. I need to understand what he's all about. I need to understand. And I said, you know what, sister? I said, I wouldn't want to have a God that I could understand. Because if I could understand him, then that means he's not God. So I thank God that I don't have a God that I can understand. I thank God that his greatness is unsearchable. He's incomparable. His greatness is incomparable. Psalm 86 and verse 10 says, for thou art great, thou art God alone. We can use the expression that he's God all by himself. That God is God all by himself. Aren't you glad that we don't have a bunch of Greek and Roman mythological gods, that you've got the God of the thunder and you've got a God of the rain and you've got God of the seasons and you've got God of this and God of that? That would be kind of confusing to have all those gods. I thank God that I have a great God and that he is God alone. He stands out there all by himself. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but my brothers and sisters, that excites me to know that I have a God that's all by himself. And you look at these religions that they find God in everything and they worship God in everything, but we have a great God who is all by himself. And then we see that his greatness is exalted, that the greatness of God is exalted. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all other gods. Y'all, I'm reminded of that story in the Old Testament where they put that statue of Dagon in the temple, and how that when they came back the next day, that it was knocked down and it was broken. They tried to put a god in the place of the real God. They tried to put a god in the place of Jehovah God. They tried to put a god in the place of Yahweh God. And the statue was knocked down and broken. No God can stand next to our God. Look what it says. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. How great is our God? As we look at the God of creation, as we look at the God of creation, I want to say four things this morning, then I'm done. And we're going to go on in this series. And in this series, we're going to take a detailed look at the greatness of God in relationship to the creation of man. And look at how God created man and how he created us with such thought and intricacy that it just staggers the imagination. We're going to look at God in relationship to the universe and see how vast this universe is and how it goes on infinitely, but yet and still God is the God of it all. We're going to look at the God of nature and how he forms the snowflakes and how he creates thunderstorms and how he brings about all these different things in nature. We're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at the God of the animals and how he created animals and how that man will tell you that we are part of an evolutionary process that started out with a little amoeba floating somewhere in space, and then all of a sudden it bumped into another one, and that's how life began. And then we went through all these forms of evolution, and finally we became human beings. Well, I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, it takes more faith to believe that than it takes to believe the Word of God. It takes more faith to believe that we are here by some accident or by some chance than to realize that God has spoken in his Word, and God created us by the power of his Word, and we ought to put a faith in a great God. How great is our God? So we're going to look at those things over the next couple of weeks and hopefully not only encourage your heart, but also give you some information that you can take to realize that we have a faith that you can stand on, that we have a faith that you can walk in victoriously because we serve a great God. How great is our God? The greatness of God in creation. First of all, we want to look at the greatness of his eternality. The greatness of his eternality. Look at Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Well, actually, we can begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 90 and verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God has no beginning, and God has no end. Somebody said, how did God get here? He's just always been here. He has always been. And I thank God that he is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. And as I think about that, what does that mean? That God, before I was even born on the face of this earth, that somewhere in eternity past, that God had me on his mind. That somewhere God was thinking about me. That I just didn't become a thought in the mind of my parents once it was announced that my mother was with child. That I just didn't become a thought in the mind of society when I was birthed into this world. But because there is an everlasting God who has lived and who has existed eternally forever and ever and ever, that God always had me on his mind. And I take great comfort in that because I know that if he had me on his mind in eternity, that he got me in his mind right now. And I don't know about you, but I've been through some difficult situations in life. I've shared my seminary testimony with you before, how that I absolutely had nothing, how that I felt degraded as a man. I'm trying to get an education to train myself to serve God, and I can't take care of my family, and how that made me feel, and how I remember one night I just went outside my door, and I looked up in the sky, and I said, God, I know you're up there. God, I know you're up there, and if you're up there, God, you got to know about me. And I took great comfort in the fact of knowing that God knew about my situation. Isn't it a shame if we would have to go through something and realize that we are in this thing all by ourselves? The psalmist said in Psalm 27, when father and mother forsake me, then the Lord, he will take me in. It says, when others have cast me down, that God is with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is always thinking about me. And I don't understand it. I don't understand how we got people in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we got people in the remotest parts of the world, and God intimately knows each one of them, and he intimately knows each one of their situations, and yet and still, he knows about me, and he is just as concerned about me as he is about anybody on the face of this earth. And that's not an egotistical statement, because any of us could say that in here today. Why? Because he is the God of eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And not only that, but look what he says in verse 1. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before you even thought about creating the mountains, or before you even thought about creating the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And what does that mean? That, Lord, you are my dwelling place. Lord, you are the place where I want to be. You are the place where I want to find my encouragement. You are the place where I want to find my joy. You are the place where I want to find my sustenance. Lord, you are my dwelling place. If you're here today, what are you doing? You're dwelling in the house of the Lord. You're in the presence of the Lord today. You want to be in the presence of this eternal, infinite God, the God of creation. Before the mountains were formed or the earth was brought forth from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, the God of eternity. How great is our God? The greatness of his presence, the greatness of his presence. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, the greatness of his presence. And this is what apologists call the cosmological argument. You might want to write that down. I didn't have a chance to get the notes together for this, but I'll have the notes for you next week and hopefully for all the messages in this series. But in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, this is what's known as the cosmological argument. And cosmological, that basically means that there is a world, and that because there is a world, that there must be a creator. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Everything that we see has a builder. The chair that you are sitting on right now has a builder. And that God was present at the creation of that chair. Well, you say, where was that at? When was God? God put the elements here on this earth so that man could make the chair. God put the things on this earth. And God, there's nothing, and this just absolutely blows my mind. There's nothing on the face of this earth that God was not present when it was created. Tell me one thing. Tell me one thing that got created and God didn't know about it. Tell me one thing that got created and God wasn't there. It says here, for every house is built by some man, but he that hath built all things is God. In the class this morning, we were talking about, I was sharing with them what I was going to be talking about. And when we were talking about this, you know, I said, well, give me some examples. And one of the brothers gave me an example. And he said, if you go and look at some of the great structures, if you maybe look at the U.S. Steel building and you see the structure, I mean, that's one of the most impressive buildings, not only in downtown Pittsburgh, but probably one of the most impressive buildings in the world. And just be able to go look at some of those buildings, PPG building, and just look at the structure and the design. And what do you stand back and you say, man, who designed that? You know, the guy that designed that must know what he's doing. The guy that designed that must be a genius. He must really know what he's doing. And sometimes we need to look back at creation, and we need to say, the guy that designed this must be a genius. The reason I showed that video in the beginning, and you saw all those scenes of animals, you saw the scenes of the sky, you saw the scenes of waterfalls, you saw scenes of mountains, and you saw all these things that were that is on this earth. And you look back and you got to say, man, who is the guy that created those things? He must be some bad dude. Whoever created this, wow. The other evening, we were here for a missions meeting for the people that's going to Montana. And it had been raining all day. And when we left, we walked out the building, and it was just like you looked out up in the sky, and just right over the mountain there, or the hill in Wilkinsburg, there was this beautiful cloud. I mean, it was just like cotton that was, you know, just moving in the sky. And it just, oh, man, just was so amazing. And I stopped, and I looked at that, and I said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Whenever we see these magnificent things in nature, we shouldn't worship those things. We should appreciate those things. But always that should bring us back to this God, this great God that we are worshiping. I love to go out west because the open territory and the mountains, and man, it's just so beautiful, and you can just appreciate creation, and you can see the power and the presence of God at work in creation. How great is our God? The greatness of his eternality, the greatness of his presence. And then look at this, the greatness of his power. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Hebrews 11 in verse 3, the greatness of his power. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God got up one morning. Well, he don't get up. We say that figuratively. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 121 that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. So God doesn't get up. Well, so I'm saying that figuratively. God got up one morning and there was nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then God just began to speak and a plant came into existence. God spoke and the altar came into existence. Man has to go. You heard the story that I told you before about these individuals that challenged God to a creation contest. And they said, God, we can do it. We can make anything that you can make. And God said, well, can you make man? And they said, sure, we can make man. And so they challenged God, and they were beginning, you know, to say, you can't make a man. God said, you can't make a man. He said, yes, we can. And so God reached down into the dust of the earth, and he created the man and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. And man reached down into the dust, and God said, oh, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. See, man has to start somewhere. Man has to start somewhere. Man has to start with something. People that built this altar, they had to start with something. But God starts with absolutely nothing. He spoke and the word came into existence. I was thinking that when the disciples were out on the boat that day and how that the storm came up and the disciples began to get a little fearful, and Jesus got up and he came and he spoke to the storm and he said, peace be still. And I thought about whatever problems that we have in our life, whatever we find ourselves going through, that we have a God, the God of creation, the God who spoke and the worlds leapt into existence, that we have a God that can speak to our situations. I don't care what it is that you're going through, that we have a God who can speak to that situation. If you are dealing with financial issues today, there's a God that can speak to that situation. If you are dealing with relationship issues today, there's a God that can speak to that situation. If you're dealing with employment situations today, there's a God that can speak to that situation. The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know, I was, I think it was last Sunday evening, I was flipping through the channels, and I saw this show on dealing with magic. And they had these guys on there doing these magic tricks. And then after each trick, they would show how they did the trick. Now, I'm talking about, man, they were talking about sawing people in half. They put this lady in this box, and this guy took this this big thing, and he pushed it through the box and squished the lady. And I'm saying, you know, now you look at that, and you say, man, how in the world can they do that? And then they went, and I said, man, there's probably some magician somewhere that are hot, that this guy's on national TV revealing all these secrets of how magicians do stuff. And I just sat there and I said, oh, okay, that's how they did that. And they showed how that, you know, when the lady got in the box, that there was actually a little place where she could put her legs down in, and that there was a little give on the other side so that, you know, when she got in, that she was able to move back. And so it looked like the box was empty. It looked like she wasn't in there. And I said, man, okay, that's how they did that. And they went through all these tricks. And I said, look, man has to come up with trickery.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the greatness of God seen in creation. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Greatness of God Seen in Creation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creation. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.